Good morning, Stavanger. If this was a ship, I think we'd be blowing over that side. That's okay. Good to see you all here. Well, welcome, and thank you for joining us. We have a very special announcement today. Before we get onto all the regular business, we have some visitors here. Most importantly, Lana and Steve Ludwig. I don't know, are you guys okay to stand up? Or okay, sure. They were married here 50 years ago. So let's see them applause for that. Yeah. And they've been joined by their lovely family there as well. So yeah, thank you very much for joining us today. Other than that, we have some regular announcements. We have our Tuesday Bible study, Meeting Jesus in Mark. That happens on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m., and you can see Pastor John for the locations and other questions. Our Bible study at Shady Oak is continuing on Tuesday at 7 p.m., and you can see me. For information about that, we're going to be starting Esther soon. Well, actually, I don't know if we decided. I'm going to be quiet. We still have one more chapter of Nehemiah. We'll figure that one out. Then we have youth group on Wednesday at 7 p.m. here at Stavanger. You can see Pastor Eric for that. There's a churchyard cleanup coming up this Saturday at 9 a.m. And guess what? Hot dogs are being served for lunch, so come on. And you can maybe jump in a pile of leaves. I don't know if that's an incentive too. But okay, and then we have that same day is the harvest party for everyone. That's this Saturday at 4 p.m. There is an insert about that right here in your bulletins. It's the yellow one. It gives you a little bit more information about that. Face painting, fish pond, treat bags, lots of fun. But we're also collecting a fundraiser, and that is for the Bible Camp Scholarship. So, yeah, just a reminder there. So you all are welcome to come, and that starts at 4 p.m. on this Saturday. There's another insert there as well, the Shoebox 2023, the Operation Christmas Child. You can read more about that in the... Yeah, with the little insert there. We're having a hymn sing service next Sunday, and so our worship service will be an opportunity for us to praise the Lord by singing some of our favorite hymns of the faith. So please join us for that as well. Reminder that we have to remove, or we're called to remove our flowers from the cemetery as soon as possible. And that coffee will be served following the worship service today, and we have the offering plate at the back there. That is the main announcements for today, unless I'm missing something. Nope, all good. So we have two videos before we start off today. We have it is Mission Sunday, so we have a Glimpse Project video here, and then a Forge video.
Chad is a land of incredible ethnic diversity. There are 15 million people in the country, made up of over 140 different people groups, each with their own distinct language and culture. These are beautiful people, hospitable people, friendly people, and millions of them have never heard the truth about Jesus Christ and God's free gift of salvation. Over 70 of Chad's people groups are considered unreached, more than any other African nation.
LBIM has a very strong commitment in bringing the gospel to these people that so desperately need it. There is no access to the gospel for a lot of these people, and they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear who Jesus is and what he's done for them and the freedom that Christ brings us.
An unreached people group is one that has no church presence in the context of their own language or culture that is capable of effectively evangelizing their own people with the message of the gospel. If you were born into one of these people groups, you would likely live your entire life and never hear a clear presentation of the gospel. Millions of Chadians are living and dying without ever having the opportunity to hear this message. These unreached tribes are Muslim peoples, and the religion of Islam dominates their daily life and is at the heart of their cultural identity. But Islam offers no complete assurance of salvation, even for the most devout.
the spiritual need is great. They're living in a very hopeless situation, a hopeless life.
The gospel has the potential to change the lives of many people. A lot of these people live in somewhat of bondage, just hoping that in the end they'll be saved, but feeling guilty for things that they've done and never really being free of that. And the gospel has the potential to reach them right where they are and allow them not only to have a changed life now, but also allows them to spend eternity with Jesus Christ.
For us to make a disciple in the Muslim context means that we're becoming not part of the people in an ethnic sense, because we never know it or can, but that we make real relationships.
Our missionaries in Chad are living and working among three unreached people groups, the Bigirmi, Bilala, and Fulbe.
My hope is that they would come to know the gospel, that they would be able to accept it as their gospel as well.
I would love for them to just grasp a hold of what Jesus did for them and who they are in Him and how much they are loved.
God has a plan. We know that He has particular individuals in His heart. He has chosen to believe in Jesus Christ and to be members of His church. We're praying that the word we preach would have a real effect in the people that we encounter. Sometimes we won't know what that effect is. Pray that Muslims would listen to the message that we have brought, that they would think about it. Pray that the Holy Spirit wouldn't leave them alone. You can pray for those who have come to faith and do not have the courage to confess publicly. Pray that their hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ would be stronger than their fear.
Because of your support, lives are being transformed by the power of the gospel.
We're in the middle of Africa, and we're a long ways from you. I could not exaggerate the encouragement we get from knowing that you are partnering with us in this ministry. We are co-laborers in a common endeavor to bring the gospel to people who haven't heard. Thank you so much for being a part of that.
There's a beautiful verse in Ezekiel 47, where it says, wherever the river goes, it gives life. And that we want that to be our thrust here, to wherever the river goes, the people of God go throughout the city and beyond, we bring life. My name is Harold Russ, and I'm the pastor of the River Church here in Red Deer, Alberta. Interesting, when we I guess we just didn't know where to meet. We were invited to come and use the church that's downtown. They call it the center. That building essentially is at the very, very center of Red Deer. So that's where we've been meeting.
They fixed furnaces. And so this was their service bay, I think. They've made it into the sanctuary, whatever you might say. Yeah, so this must have been the area that was the parts department and an office or whatever. But We take these chairs out of the way, set up tables, and we have 50, 60 people eating here every Sunday.
Interestingly enough, we didn't expect it to be so as we began planting the church, but it turned out to be a church with many, many newcomers to Canada from all over the world. Really interesting how it's come to be. When we began church planting here a few years back, we thought it was going to be just a very typical North American white church, you might say. Got connected with people, and then people kept saying, have you ever been to the barbecue? They do a lot of things with newcomers. They were telling us to do this, so we came and visited the barbecue, and that just kind of led one thing to another, and before you know it, we were involved and connecting with many, many people that way. As we think about North America, there's a real need to see mission work done here at home. Over this time, it's been glamorous to go overseas to Africa, to Asia, parts of the world like that. But the world has been coming to us. And so there's such a need. We see the mission field like right before us. When you support North American missions, Church of Lutheran Brethren of Canada, you support places like the river, where we are building bridges for people to cross and get to know Jesus as their Savior, get to know the hope that He has for them through the forgiveness of sins and life that He gives. You're supporting churches all over North America to do mission work right here at home. As the Lord is bringing the world to us, what an opportunity.
Well, it's awesome to see those different opportunities, and you can see different ways you can give towards those and help support that. We're all in our own ways called to support the mission of Christ. So now we get to our main part of our service here, and we'll begin with our call to worship, drawn from Psalm 106, verses 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare His praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Let's calm our hearts and come before the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please open our hearts today to hear Your word, Lord. Help us to be renewed by Your Holy Spirit, be strengthened and comforted and encouraged in Your mission, Lord. Lord, help this church to be a light in a dark world, and help us to feel Your Spirit moving here and transforming all of us into Your image more and more, Lord. We thank You for Your blessings and Your promises that are proclaimed in Your word, and pray that You would help us all to cling to those more and more. Lord, who can declare all the mighty works that You have done and proclaim Your praise properly, Lord? Lord, in our humble way, we pray that you would hear our praise today, and that we would be drawn closer to You. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Let us rise now for worship and song.
Sure.
continue to worship in song, singing, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. By your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us, and he has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all. Amen. Let us now confess our undoubted Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Isaiah 25, verses 1 through 9. The word of the Lord. Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You and praise Your name. For in perfect faithfulness You have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. You have made the city a heap of rubble, the fortified town a ruin, the foreigner's stronghold a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will honor You. Cities of ruthless nations will revere You. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in their distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driving against the wall, and like the heat of the desert. You silence the uproar of foreign as heat is reduced by the shadow of the cloud. So the song of the ruthless is stilled. On the mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, He will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove His people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in Him, and He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation." Let us now enter into a time of prayer again as we just come before the Lord once more. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word again, Lord, and we thank You for this great promise of the great banquet, Lord. We thank You that on the mountain You have provided salvation. Lord, we pray that You would put this hope in our hearts today, and that this hope would spread to all the nations, that the great darkness that is in this world would continue to be pushed back by the light of Your gospel, that many, many people would come to know You and praise Your name, and to be able to say, "This is our God who has done great things." Lord, we pray for our government. We pray for those in leadership in all levels that they would act wisely and they would bring justice, Lord, in the land, that they would fulfill their duties and that they would take care of the poor and the needy and that they would ensure that all is done well. Father, we pray for them as they face the stresses of their office. We pray that You would comfort them, but also guide them, rebuke them where necessary, Lord, where they fail to do their jobs. We pray for the governments not only of our nation, but the nations of the world, Lord. Especially at the moment, we pray for the Middle East, as fighting has broken out between Israel and the Palestinians, Lord. We pray that You would give wisdom there, not only to the Israeli government, but also to the governments around them as tensions can be high. Lord, we pray for peace, and we pray that the Christians in the area would be able to serve their neighbor with love and take in those who are suffering. Lord, we pray for those who have lost lives in this already and for the wickedness that has happened. Lord, we pray that you would comfort those families who have suffered so grievously. Father, we pray, continue to pray for the situations elsewhere in the world, whether it's in Ukraine or other places where war still continues, Lord. Would you bring wisdom to the leaders of this world, and would they bow their knees to you and bring peace, and not seek after worldly gain. Father, we pray also for our hospitals and for those who are working in law enforcement and all the vocations that you've called many people to. Lord, we pray that their service would be upheld and that you would strengthen them. Lord, we pray particularly for those who are sick and facing cancer, who are struggling with that burden, Lord, or other illnesses and ailments that have come upon them. We pray that you would please bring comfort and show mercy to them. Lord, that your heart for them would be known, that those around them could share the gospel, and that they could know where to look for their only hope in both life and death. Father, we pray particularly today for Scott's surgery, Lord. Lord, that we know that there was a need for sort of an emergency surgery, Lord. We just pray that you would continue to be with him, that all would go well there, and that you would strengthen him in his recovery. We pray for his family as well, that you'd be with them as well. We ask that as Pastor Eric comes to preach your word, Lord, that our hearts would be open to the hearing of it, and that we would be edified by it, and we'd be drawn closer to you, Lord. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. And let us pray as the Lord taught us to pray with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
I invite Pastor Eric to come up.
Good morning, everyone. Our gospel text for this morning is found in Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14, and I invite you to rise as you are able for the reading of God's word. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Well, our reading this morning begins, Jesus spoke again to them in parables. And an introduction like this just begs for us to fill in the context, the background information. Who are these they that Jesus is speaking to, and why is he speaking to them again? If we look back at the previous chapter of Matthew, we see Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It is Palm Sunday. People are spreading their cloaks and branches in the road before their Messiah. However, not everyone was a fan of Jesus. After he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, Jesus entered the temple and he gets to work cleaning it out. He throws out those who were buying and selling and overturns tables and benches. Matthew tells us that all kinds of blind and sick people came to Jesus at the temple and he healed them. And then we get this beautiful picture of children filling the temple courts and shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, essentially meaning Messiah, please save us, please deliver us. Well, the chief priests and the teachers of the law were furious about this. So the next day, these religious leaders approach Jesus in the temple courts and they ask him, by what authority are you doing these things? And keep in mind, Jesus has done some pretty outrageous things clearing out this temple. So they're wondering, who gave you authority to do stuff like this? And Jesus doesn't directly answer them. Instead, he tells them three parables. Here in Jerusalem, as Jesus moves toward the cross and the empty tomb, his enemies come out and they begin to oppose him. They begin to stand against him and his coming kingdom. Well, these parables, these three parables that Jesus tells, they help us to understand how we should see and understand this rejection of Jesus, the Messiah. The first parable is the parable of the two sons, where a father tells two of his sons to go work in this vineyard. The first refuses, but then later changes his mind and ends up going out to work in the vineyard. The second son promises he'll go, but then doesn't end up going at all. The second parable is the parable of the wicked tenants, where there's this vineyard owner, and he entrusts his property, his vineyard, to these hired tenants. And when the owner sends his servants to collect his share of the produce, they were mistreated and even killed. So finally, the owner sends his very own son, thinking perhaps they'll listen to his son, but these wicked tenants plot and conspire against the son to kill him. Then the third parable Jesus tells is our gospel reading for today, the parable of the wedding banquet. So now we can at least understand the first sentence. Jesus spoke to them, that is the religious leaders, again, because he's already told them two parables. In this parable, Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. When the food was prepared and it was time for the banquet to start, the king sent out some servants to bring those who had been invited into the banquet, but they refuse. So the king sends more servants. Maybe they just don't understand the work that I've put in preparing this wedding feast. So he sends more servants and he says, this time tell them, like, hey guys, food's getting cold over here. We've butchered a lot of animals and everything's ready, so come. And then here, these guests, these invited guests, can be divided into two groups based on how they respond to this second group of servants. Some of them simply ignore these servants. They walk off. They go back to what they were doing. But then this second group, they grab the servants, mistreat them, and kill them. Now, this is certainly a strange wedding story, and it's about to get even stranger. Because when the king hears about how these servants were, or how his servants were mistreated and killed, he sends in the troops. They kill these murderers and burn down their city. When we come across these exaggerated details, I think it's important to remember that here Jesus is not giving us a how-to guide on wedding planning. This is a parable directed to the religious leaders of Israel to reveal how God's kingdom works in ways that we would not expect. In our scripture reading that we heard a few moments ago from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah also describes a king's banquet where God himself will prepare a feast of food and a banquet of wine. He does this for all people, where he promises to wipe away every tear and to swallow up death forever. Jesus teaches that those who oppose and reject him are also opposing and rejecting God's invitation to this banquet feast. Well, in this parable, though the original invited guests have now been killed and their city burned, the king is not willing for this banquet hall to be empty. He sends out his servants into the streets to invite literally anyone they can find. The good, the bad, everyone is invited. So the banquet was filled with guests, but when the king walks in, he notices this man who's not dressed properly. He's not wearing his church clothes. And the king asks, "How did you even get in here looking like that?" And we have some more outrageous details. The king instructs the servants to tie this man up and throw him out into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Again, we have what appears to be an overreaction by this king. Failing to wear the proper clothing hardly seems reason enough to have someone tied up and thrown out into the darkness. So it is essential that we ask the question, what does it mean to not have wedding clothes? To answer this question, I think it is helpful to consider this parable as a whole. And I think it's also helpful to see it divided into two separate scenes. And this morning, I actually have a picture. I normally don't, but this morning I've got a picture to show you guys to kind of help make sense of what's going on here, to maybe help you see some of the connections. So the parable begins with an action of the king. Begins with an action of the king. He invites the original guests, which is then followed by the response. They reject this invitation. Then we have another reaction of the king. What does he do? Sends out more servants. There's a second invitation. Then the second response, continued rejection, this time violence against the servants. And then the last reaction of the king, punishment. And we see that that first scene corresponds very nicely to the second scene, which begins again with the action of the king, inviting everyone this time. Response, the opposite of the first time. Now they accept. The banquet hall is filled. The reaction of the king, he walks into the banquet hall and he questions this man, how is it that you're dressed like that? Then we have the response, this time silence by this man who's called out. And then the reaction of the king, again, it ends in punishment. And so here we see a connection between this guest who is tied up and thrown out, the one who wasn't wearing a wedding garment, and we see a connection between him and these original invited guests. Both were unworthy of this banquet. Outside this parable in the real world of Matthew's gospel, it is the religious leaders' opposition to Jesus and his ministry that brings judgment down on their heads. You see, they should have believed John the Baptist when he came proclaiming that the Messiah had come. They should have clung on to this way of righteousness in Jesus, but instead they plot against him. They plot to kill him. And though this parable was originally spoken for these religious leaders, that's who Jesus is addressing here, it's for us too. Imagine that the king has invited you to the wedding banquet of his son. Picture yourself there in the banquet hall, the smell of freshly cooked steak filling the air. Are you wearing a wedding garment? Are you worthy of this banquet? Often when we talk about worthiness, our heads immediately jump to, am I good enough? You know, does the good in my life outweigh the bad? And I would just point out, if we remember, the king invited all kinds of people. It specifically says the good and the bad. But then when this king comes in to the banquet, he doesn't round up all the bad people and throw them out. No, it is only this man who is not wearing a wedding banquet, a wedding garment. It is only that man who is thrown out. I declare to you today that God has not only called and chosen you, he has given you a garment too. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Are you worthy of this banquet? No, you're not. Neither am I. None of us are. But you have been dressed in the only acceptable garment for participation in this feast. No matter what you are wearing today, you don't need to wonder if you are welcome or if you belong. In Christ, you have a king who is generous and who is forgiving, and who fills his banquet hall with all who believe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that you have for us, that despite our continued sin, you continue to call. You continue to clothe us in your Son, Jesus Christ. So help us to remember that it's not by our merit that we are welcomed at your table, but by your boundless love, by the righteousness of Christ. May you help us to live our lives in gratitude for this incredible gift. May our hearts overflow with love and compassion for others as we share the good news of your salvation. It is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Let us now rise for our closing chorus. Go now in peace. Now the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.